know, God's going to send you places where they need what you have. And so often we want to hang out where everyone thinks like us. And so, you know, there's going to be resistance. You know, I taught that in the vision class when in the second year. I said, you know, when you go out and God sends you, where is he going to send you except for the places that need what you have, that don't yet believe what you believe? I said, don't think they're all just going to love you. I mean, some are going to love you. Some are going to be resistant. But you just got to not judge people, burn your bridges. You know, so many times we think we get arrogant and this is the right way, you're wrong. And we burn bridges and kill a relationship that might be something that's for the future, not right now. You know, remember, God didn't make you believe what you believe. And so we have to remember that. Everyone has a right and a will, and God won't override it. And I like how Andrew says, not everyone's going to receive what I have to say, but everyone's going to have the potential to hear what I have to say. You see, that's the attitude that even Jesus had. He said, you're going to walk away too? Go ahead. And so anyway, we need to go ahead and start and finish our lesson. Today is lesson 9. I'm getting better at outline writing. And it's The Great Source, part 1. And we're going to finish up next week, I believe. It's going to be part 2. So briefly, the last time we were here, you know, in teaching a course spread out over a term, and then going to Russia and teaching, going to South Africa and teaching, I forget everything I said. And I was like, I'm sure I said that. But no, I said it in Russia and all these types of things. But in Romans chapter 7, verses 8, we're going to do a little review real quick. Verse 18 and 19, the last lesson I think was very important. Understanding the frustration of trying to live for God and serve God in your own power and strength. Because eventually you're going to crash and burn. And if you're honest, if you really see how God is holy, now we're going to talk about this next time, but how many of you know that verse in 1 Peter that preachers have abused? Be ye holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but if it's up to me to be as holy as God in my strength, I'm toast. I'm a charcoal briquette. Think about it. But when you understand the things I'm teaching, the things that Andrew teaches, and the things you're receiving here, you are holy as God is holy because he's given you his righteousness, he's given you his holiness, and all those types of things. And it's a matter of drawing out what God has put in. And so in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul's writing, and he's writing this chapter from a position of frustration, of trying to obtain and to release the power of God by his own strength. How many times have you heard the reason why God's not answering your prayers? Because you're not doing enough. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. But I prayed 10 hours, but maybe you're still not enough. And man, why do I have this problem? Well, it's God's judging you. It's his chastening. It's his discipline. It's all these things. And it's amazing how I've had these same people come up to me that God is doing this to me, and I convince them that it's not God, and I pray for them, and they get healed. Now, if it was really God chastening them, and healing will not be produced in their flesh until they change, then why did they get healed? Because they didn't change, except right here. Now, folks, I'm not talking about, you know, yes, God deals with us. How does he deal with us? Through his word. Jesus said in John 15, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So why would God use something else? Now, I don't want to keep going on that. But in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Notice he qualifies that. Nothing good dwells. The problem is most believers don't believe that. They think that in their flesh they can give something that God can accept. The only thing that we can give by the power of our own strength and flesh is an Ishmael. And it produces death, destruction, frustration, defeat. And we don't understand because we thought we did it for God, and how come he didn't accept it? Because he didn't ask you for that. He wants to do what he wants to do through you so that he can get the glory. If it's what you did, then you get the glory. Now, folks, remember, God is not about, you know, his life is much better than anything we could ever imagine. He has better plans for us than any plan that we could ever imagine or think, right? So we really need to rest. You know, the Christian life is about rest, knowing that God is able to do what he said he would do. And the only thing we have to do is do what he says. Like, go to Bible school. How many of you are changing? How many of you are trying to change? Trying. Oh, God, no. You know what I'm saying? It's the word in you that's producing the change. It's the Holy Ghost. As you sit there and you just worship God, how many of you just sat there and just worship God and all of a sudden you just start changing? Just because your focus is on Him. Your eyes are off of yourself and your eyes are on Him. And wow, look what He can do if we just let Him, if we just do that. So Paul's talking about that. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Your new man delights in the things of God, not your flesh. But I see another law in my members. We talk about a law in this sense, not talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about something that is constant, something that is consistent. Whether you believe it or not, it's working, like the law of gravity. Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. In Galatians 5:17 says that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, if you're carnally minded, the things that you do, that you don't do, the things that you wish, is talking about on the inside, you want to live for God, but you don't find the power to do it. Okay? But when we get into what we're going to be talking about today and tomorrow, but when you go into the presence of God, when you are using the tools that God gave us, you're going to be doing what the Spirit wants, not what the flesh wants. So there's a balance there. That's why it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All depends on where you have your focus. Romans 7:24, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul recognized that he did not have the power in himself to produce the promises of God, the life of God. Your flesh is not yet saved. Your body is not yet saved. Now, your body is not evil. I want you to understand that, okay? Otherwise, God would just destroy your body. Your body is a tool that follows your soul. Did you hear what I said? If you're carnally minded, your body is going to follow that carnal mindedness. If you're spiritually minded, your body's going to follow spiritual mindedness. Like, my body didn't tell me, I don't want to go to Africa. I said, I'm going to Africa. My body said, okay, let's go. You understand what I'm saying here? Too many people are doing what they feel like doing, and they wonder why they're defeated. Folks, this is not about bondage. It's talking about you don't let your flesh tell you what to do. You tell your flesh what to do. And when you get to the point where you understand that God accepts you not based on who you are, but based on who He is, we're accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6, I said that so many times, it's because you need to always think that. Every morning, I'm accepted because of You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, that You have qualified me, Colossians 1:12. You have made me meet to be able to partake of the inheritance. Wow, He's, man. How many of you have never didn't get a job because you were not qualified or you were overqualified? You know, if I were to go to McDonald's and apply for the cook position, they probably wouldn't hire me. You know why? Because they know I'm not going to stick around. We know that things are tough, and you're just here, but we know something else is going to open up. They wouldn't hire my wife because of that. When we were in Bible school, she had gone to nursing school and things like that, and they wouldn't hire her. You're overqualified. Why? They knew, we know you don't really want to flip burgers. And as soon as another opportunity comes, you're gone. But He has qualified us. You have not qualified yourself. Therefore, the next time you think you can't obtain the promises, remember, God qualified you, and Jesus, the Bible says, if he has freely given us Christ, how will He not also freely give us all other things? How did you receive Christ? By grace through faith. Amen? Verse 25, this is what we're talking about. I thank God, Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is a cry of desperation. Paul recognized that in his own self, he was impotent to produce the life of God. And until we get to that point, we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we can, through how much we pray, how much we read the Word, how much we do this, how much we do that, how much we don't watch television, how much we don't do this, and how much we do this, that it's going to produce walking in the Spirit, and it will not. Denying the flesh will not produce walking in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit will produce denying the flesh. Amen. Okay, God has not left us on our own. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God has not left me on my own. He did not save me and say, okay, now this is your second chance. Don't blow it. Man, I've blown my second chance, my third chance, my fourth chance. I've blown every single chance God gave me. And I thank God that Jesus and Him crucified is my chance, not anything else. And Jesus can't fail. Therefore, my chance can't fail. See, if you think God only gave you a second chance, then you'll quit when you think you blew it. Hello. So we can't live for God in our own strength. We cannot produce The fruit of the Spirit, or the life of God through our own efforts or willpower. Now we're going to look at that in Galatians 5 later. But in Galatians chapter 5, it says, now the fruit of the Spirit is, and it gives a list. Now it's fruit, singular. It's the outworking of the Holy Ghost. Now notice it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the flesh. No wonder we fail when we're trying to produce love by the flesh. Brother, I really can't stand you, but I'm going to pretend to love you. You know you can't do that. How many of you ever gone into Starbucks or something like that and everyone's there so friendly, but it's fake? Hello, how are you? Good to see ya. Yeah, right. As soon as I leave, did you see that guy's shirt? Man. You can tell when things are fake, can't you? How about when people invite you over for dinner and you're so happy because they invited you over for dinner. And so you go over. This happened to me like 2 times. So you go over and you're all excited because, you know, everyone likes to have friends and likes to be appreciated and, you know, I invite you for dinner. What does that mean? I want to get to know you, right? So after dinner, you're chit-chatting. Want some coffee? Dessert? Yeah, oh, this is going great. Okay, now for the reason why we really brought you over. Amway. Anybody ever been there? Maybe not Amway, but Nutrisystem or whatever it is. Malaluca. Pyramid stuff. Now, folks, if anyone's watching that's in Amway, don't get offended if you're making money in that, but don't treat people like a dollar sign. You know, you know what would have been better if they said, you know what, man, we like you guys, man. You know, you guys are great. You know, and you know, we're doing this that's working. You know, would you like us to talk to you about that? Now for the reason why we really brought you over. In other words, we really don't like you. We're using you. We buttered you up. Now will you do what we want? Would you please be in our downline so we can use you? That's the way I received it. I don't know. I don't have time to talk about that, but, you know, I looked at you, and I can tell you have what it makes. You have what it takes to make it. Really? So if you are so convinced, you've been doing this so long, and you can tell I have what it takes to make it, why don't you pay the fee? Anyway, sorry about that. Let's get back in the spirit here. But there's a difference between the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit is a byproduct of the life that's in the tree. Hello? You know why an orange tree produces oranges? Because the life in the tree is orange. Hello? What happens when an orange tree tries to produce apples? Struggle, can't do it. Oh, there's another orange. So what happens when we in our flesh try to produce a fruit of a spirit? Go! Still not working. Instead of me actually loving this guy, there was an argument, right? And so the fruit, God does not need our flesh. He needs us to finally come to the place of rest and believing that God can do through us what he said. Without us helping him, except us yielding to him. There's a difference. God told you to come to school. You came to school. You obeyed him. Now he's doing what he intended, right? It's everything else. God will tell you what he wants you to do, but it's going to be him who does it through you, not you. Anytime we get that mixed up, we start producing things that we wish weren't produced. I remember when I was pastoring in Trinidad, I was trying so hard to bear fruit. I really was. And I finally recognized that I can't bear fruit. All I can do is do what God says, and then he will bear the fruit. You know, you can't change people. You know what else I noticed? I preached in Russia, and I saw a lot of people's lives change. I saw them get excited for God, and then I went to Trinidad and preached the same stuff, and they looked at me like this. I was like, what is wrong? And my lightning quick mind noticed it wasn't me who did what happened in Russia. And it's not me who's doing this. It's when you believe what the Bible says and believe what God says is when you start to see the fruit of what the Bible says. And so we will frustrate ourselves if we try to produce the fruit of the Spirit or the life of God through our own efforts or willpower. How many of you ever discovered that? That's what Paul was saying. For the good that I want to do, I don't find the power to do it. And the bad that I don't want to do, I end up doing it. Good news. God doesn't expect us to live for him in the power of our flesh. Remember that time when God said, why are you so shocked that your flesh doesn't want to seek me? I'm not shocked. You're the only one shocked. I was shocked. How come I don't feel like praying? How come I don't feel like reading the Bible? How come I don't feel like? You know, there's many times I don't feel like preaching. Now, it hasn't happened here because you guys are so easy to preach to and teach. But you know, there were times that Wednesday night, and a lot of times you'll discover that the devil, he knows, he can see things that God's doing. I don't know how, but he can see things, and he will start to attack your mind and say, oh, I don't want to be here. Oh, man, I don't know these people. How do I know if they're going to receive? Oh, you know, all these things will start coming. I really just, it's Wednesday night. I'm kind of tired. I've been here all week. I'd rather just go home and just take it easy. That's when you have to say, I don't care what I feel like. God has anointed me to preach the gospel. God has anointed you to do what he's called you to do. And so we have to tell our flesh, you're not in charge. God's in charge, and I'm going to do what he wants. And you know what? When you choose to do that, you see the power of God released. And boy, are you so glad you didn't listen to your flesh after, aren't you? How many of you didn't feel like going to church sometimes, but you went anyway, and that was the service you really needed? I don't know why it is, but sometimes when we have the biggest resistance, it's because God's wanting to do something. Somehow, I don't know how, maybe in the spirit, there's things happening, angels and things that we can't see, but the devil sees that and says, let's discourage him so he doesn't go get what God wants to give him. It took Jesus dying for us in order for us to be accepted by God, and it takes the power of that finished work working in us to allow Jesus to live through us. Galatians 2, verses 20 through 21. You know, what I'm sharing with you is simple. It's not difficult. Sometimes people say, okay, great. And the next lesson we're going to look at how to access things. And so sometimes we're looking for this formula. Folks, if it was a formula, it's your flesh again. And so many times we're looking for this key that will fix us. And we already know the answer, but we're not doing the answer. We're not doing what we already know. Sometimes people are looking at every other reason, the other way. Okay, I'm going to go to church and the pastor's going to lay hands on me and zap me and it's going to fix this thing. But the Bible says, if you abide in him, you will bear much fruit. Oh, but you know, I'd rather watch football all day Sunday or whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm guilty as everyone else, folks. I love football. I do. So don't call me on Saturday or Sunday. See, there's nothing wrong with things as long as it isn't occupying you and taking the place of your relationship with God. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So it took Jesus dying for you to be accepted, and it takes that same understanding that it took what he did on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that he lives on the inside of you, it takes that understanding and trusting and looking to Christ in you to live this life. No wonder the devil, you know, devil's behind religion, you know that, right? And the devil has no problem using scriptures to condemn you, to beat you up, and to get you to get your focus on yourself, thinking that somehow I can produce, if I just get my act together, I can produce this. He doesn't want you resting in the fact that you are accepted in him and that he's able to live this life through you, but you have to believe it. God has made this life available to you by grace. In other words, you can't earn it. It's the power of God to live the life he wants you to live. It's the power of God to do what he wants you to do. It's the unmerited, unearned favor of God, but you have to believe that and access that by faith. That's what Paul says. I live in this life. I live in the flesh because we still have flesh. We still live on this earth. He said, I no longer live by flesh, but by the faith of God so that he's able to live through me in order to not only bless my life, but bless everyone around us. How many of you ever been around someone who's actually has their faith in God? It's truly in God. They're really focusing on God. It's like there's just this aroma that permeates the whole room, and they're attractive. Even if they're not physically attractive, they're attractive. Now, how many of you ever had been around someone who's trying to produce the life of God in their flesh? They're repelling. You're all sinners here. Repent or burn. How come nobody wants to eat lunch with me? But guess what? Sinners wanted to eat lunch with Jesus, and the religious folk got mad about it. And let me tell you why they wanted to eat lunch with Jesus. It wasn't because he was excusing their sin. He was giving them hope that they could overcome, that they could be the people that God wants, and that God accepts them, and that God loves them. That's why they ate with him. That's why they wanted to be around him. The only people Jesus ever bashed were the religious folk who thought they were righteous and despised and looked down on others. Amen? If we try to live for God through the power of our flesh and what we're trying to accomplish by our own efforts in order to qualify ourselves before God. Does that make sense? We have fallen from grace. Isn't that amazing? Fallen from the power of grace that sets us free. Fallen from the power of His resurrection that gives us life. Galatians 5:4 tells us that. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now let's go to Galatians 3. I preached this in that one church on Sunday, and it was just really great. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? You know what that means? Accepted in Him because of what He did. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By grace through faith, right? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? This is where Christians start to mess up. This is why new believers are so excited, because it's only about Him. They don't know anything else but that Jesus loves me. Jesus forgave me. Jesus accepts me. And after a while, they start to hear how messed up they are. They start to find out all the things they're not doing. They start to find out all the things they are doing that's wrong. They find out they've got to pray and they've got to do this. They've got to tear down strongholds for God to be able to do what God said He could do. And even and the day before, when they got born again, they weren't tearing nothing down. God was able to do it. Folks, the devil's behind all that flesh effort so that you get your eyes off God, so that it doesn't... How many of you discovered it doesn't work? How many of you tore down strongholds and nothing happened? Come on. How come the city's still not saved? We done tore down the strongholds. Oh, it's prophetic worship we got to do. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm not making fun of people, but if you really think God's accepting your... Oh, wow, now I can move. Now, folks, if it's from your heart, God accepts it. But if it's not from your heart, you're trying to produce something because you don't really believe God is there. Oh, God, please come. Oh, God, we beseech Thee. You don't believe God really loves you. You don't believe God wants to move. You believe that you have to convince Him to do something that He doesn't want to do. Oh, foolish Galatians. Foolish. How many of you want to be foolish? Do you know what? That's what we are when we try to perfect what God began by the power of our flesh. I am confident that He who began a good work in you can complete it. Who? Him. No wonder the devil wants us to get our eyes off of the one who can do it and can complete it and get our eyes on ourselves so that we try to, as it says here, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Most Christians don't even understand, but that's exactly what happened in their Christian life and why their Christian experience is no longer producing fruit and no longer producing joy. And that's why they don't want to go to church, but they have to, because if they don't go, everyone will start calling them and ask them where they were. So we do everything for all the wrong reasons. Folks, God is able, when we have our eyes on Him, to do everything He promised to do. When you received Christ, all you did was believe that what He said was true, that He could do what He said He could do. And somewhere along the line, through preaching, well, most of the time well-intended preaching, we get in bondage till we get our eyes back on ourselves. And anytime you're condemned, majority of the body of Christ is condemned. Have you discovered that? Even now that I know the Word of God, I have to make sure that I don't allow myself to be condemned. Because it's so easy to see everywhere you're failing, everywhere where you're not producing, and take it as, man, God must, you know, I'm really failing here. Why did you pick me, God? And that is not the way God wants us to approach Him. I've had so many people, I know I shouldn't be condemned, but I am. Well, if you know you shouldn't be, then you shouldn't be. Renew your mind. Get out of those churches. I'm sorry, get out of those churches, because it's not producing in your life. You only have one life to live, and you better live it not condemned, and live it full of the power of God, understanding God accepts you because of Jesus, not because of you. He loves you. He sent Jesus because He loved you. He didn't send Jesus because He was mad at you, because He loved you. He saved you because He wanted you. He adopted you because He wanted you, and He knew what He was getting. He's not ashamed. He's not disappointed. We're disappointed. We're ashamed. And our fellow brothers and sisters are ashamed because they want to feel like they're doing better than us. Isn't it amazing how many times a pastor will tell someone who's sick and they don't see freedom that it must be some sin in your life? Why? Because they don't have any other answer. So they put condemnation on somebody. Has to be sin in your life, brother. Otherwise, God would heal you. I've seen those same people get set free and get healed instantly. Because folks, right here, is everything in the Christian life. If this is sick, the rest of your life will be sick. How many of you want to prosper? I do. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Raise your hand. If you don't want to prosper, you're not godly. If God didn't want you to prosper, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Hello. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. This is not on your outline, so this is free. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. And that's where people stop. It's not what the Bible says. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. To the same degree, your soul is prospering. Most people aren't prospering is because their soul is sick. They're approaching God through their own efforts, through their eyes on self, and they're not prospering in all the areas in their life. Now, I don't have time to teach on that. But Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law or by flesh. You have fallen from grace. Have you ever noticed the church says fallen from grace is when you sin? Folks, the Bible doesn't teach that you fall from grace when you sin. The Bible says there's much more grace available towards us when we sin. Now, that's not saying go sin. But when we sin, we recognize how much we need God. Now, we're going to look at that in a little bit, probably tomorrow. But let's look at the next point. God doesn't expect us to just live for him. I can't tell you how many times someone's been struggling with sin, and they go up to the pastor, and the pastor says, just stop. That's like, just save yourself. God doesn't expect us just to live for him. He doesn't expect us to just live holy or just stop sinning. He desires that we know how to live for him. So much in the body of Christ, it's about just stop, just don't do this, just don't do that. And they never get around to knowing how to live for God. Now this lit my fire when I read this. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read the verse that everyone's heard, the verse that everyone's heard on preachers on TV, the ones where preachers have been frothing at the mouth, condemning everyone. And in our next session next week, I'm going to talk about the verse that has been so incredibly misinterpreted. For the time has come that judgment begin at the house of God. How many of you ever heard that? I'm going to settle your souls on that one once for all. People who preach it like that don't even have a basic foundational understanding of the word. So you have to come back. And when you see it, it'll become so clear, you'll laugh at how people use that verse to manipulate, to dominate, and to strike fear into believers. You know what that verse is all about? Keeping you in their church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and there's another verse. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. And that's where they stop, right? Guess what? It is God's will that we abstain from sexual immorality. Why? Because it destroys us. Not because it didn't want us to have fun. It actually destroys us. Sexual promiscuity, while it promises life and fun, it actually destroys lives. So it is the will of God. But knowing the will of God and knowing how, as Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, how to do it is a different story. Let's look at the very next verse that I've never heard it. You know, people who preach that verse, you know, Andrew doesn't go there. To this verse, because it's not what he's talking about. But people who talk about that, they never preach the next verse. And so I was shocked one day when I read the Bible and saw there's another verse there, and it's related to the verse before it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So God wants us to know how to do it. He doesn't expect us just to do it. He did not invent the Nike slogan, just do it. I've heard pastors go up to people who are struggling with sin. And folks, if someone's coming to you and they're struggling with sin and they're coming to you, it's because they don't want to struggle with it. They're already condemned. They're looking for help. And you gave them no help when you say, just stop. Well, if that was the case, they didn't need your input. They probably already tried to just stop. And I'm thoroughly convinced most of the body of Christ doesn't have a clue about knowing how. And the system is so simple. God has made a simple way for us to be able to live holy. We just need to know what it is. Because holiness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's not something you produce. It is something that is produced through you. So I am running out of time. How to live for God. Knowing how to live for God, or rather allowing Christ to live through you, is simple in principle, but applying it to our daily lives is a challenge because our flesh doesn't help us. It actually resists us. We looked at that. How many of you ever decided you're going to get up early and seek God, and when the alarm clock goes off, you say, uh-uh, not getting up. Hit the snooze button, bam, I'll get up in 5 minutes. Next thing you know, you turn it off and you're late. Not only did you not get up early, you're late. How many of you ever, I'm going to read the word, you crack the Bible and all of a sudden you notice everything around you. Oh my gosh, the dishes need to be washed. Let me go do that quick. Oh Lord, look at this floor. Let's vacuum it. Look at the cobwebs. Have you ever noticed that? You didn't give a flying rip about the dishes until you started to get into the presence of God. That's when we need to recognize it is our flesh and the devil or demons that are telling us, they're trying to get you to do anything but be in the presence of God. That's when you say, flesh, shut up. Who cares about the dishes? I'll go buy new ones if I have to. Hello. Galatians 5:17, we know that. For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We're not going to go there again. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I think the King James says, buffet my body, not buffet. You know, I like to buffet my body every now and then. I don't know about you. The Broadmoor brunch buffet, ooh. I used to work at the Broadmoor and I used to win prizes and I was sick of eating in restaurants. What do you want? I want breakfast buffet. Man, we went there. They had turkey. They had Belgian waffles. Man, I'm getting hungry now. Who wants to go out to this class? But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, folks, because your body will always resist the things of God. Your body. Don't be shocked. This is the problem. In the body of Christ, we're shocked, so we get condemned. Recognize, this is normal. Do you know how many times I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor Sean or Sean, sometimes I don't feel like reading the Bible. I said, that's normal. It's normal? Yes. Oh, and I show them these things. Folks, this sets people free because they think there's something wrong with me. Because they hear all those stories about people who get up early and they have 10 visitations. And they say, how come that didn't happen to me? God, please let me in. Right? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let me interpret this verse for you properly, folks. People have said that if you don't bring your body into subjection, you lose your salvation, you become disqualified. That's not what it's saying. Look carefully. When I preach to others, why would that be in there if it's talking about salvation? If I go out and live in adultery, guess what? Most of you will stop listening to me, even though I might be teaching the truth. Let's go to one more verse and we'll finish here. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, this new man, this born-again spirit, in earthen vessels. You know what an earthen vessel is? It cracks, it's weak, it breaks. Watch this. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, your earthen vessel has no power. The power is in the treasure that's in you. Hallelujah. See you next time.